I'm very excited about what I'm going to teach tonight. I'm very excited. You may be seated. What I have to teach tonight, I'm not going to say it's a doozy, but it's going to shock you. Now, as Christians, we know, and we understand that we are given promises. We are given advantages as Christians because of what Christ done on the cross for us. We have understood the scriptures. We have read the scriptures where it says that we have the abundance. We have the wealth. We're going to have everything that we ever need because Christ is with us. But why do we have problems then? Why do we constantly have our ups? We have our ups. Don't get me wrong. We have our ups. We have our joy. We have our peace. But then sometimes we have our downs. A lot of times we have our downs. So why are we... It's not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be up and down, up and down. It's supposed to be up and up. So why are we having so many problems? And then when we have our problems, we tend to ask God, God, please help us. Please help us with our problems. Oh, Lord. What I was told by God, I'm going to tell you right now. God doesn't care about your problems. He doesn't care a single iota about your problems. It's like looking in the mirror because I had that same shocked face when he told me that. He doesn't care a single thing about your problems. See, he told me that, when he told me that, he's like, I don't care about, he told me, I don't care about your problems. I said, Lord, what you mean? You don't care about my problems? Like, what you mean? And I said, your word says that you're going to cover me. You're going to keep me protected always, Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I started quoting scriptures, and I didn't get nothing back. So I thought, okay, let me go look into the Bible and see if there's anything about problems. Let me look it up. Let me see. I looked into the Bible. Now, I checked once, twice, three times, and I even looked at the index at the back of the regular Bible. I looked in the app on the phone. Not a single scripture in the Bible has the word problem. Not a single, I promise you, I was like, when I looked at it, I was like, this got to be wrong. Let me take a look again. And I didn't see nothing. I was like, oh, okay. So what does it mean, Lord? Look at Matthew 6. What I'm going to be looking at, I'm going to start at verse 31. Now, before I read this scripture, I know some of you Bible theologians are going to be telling me that this is about tithes and offering and giving your seed. Because at the beginning, you know, at verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. For either we hate one or love the other, or else he will hold one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's talking about, so the rest of this chapter, he's talking about money. But I've learned from my apostle that you have to, he told Dr. Forbes this. He said, you have to peel the scriptures like an onion, meaning that there's something underneath those words. There's something more underneath those words that you have to understand and have to catch, meaning there's something that's not said that you have to catch. So when he says you cannot serve God and mammon, I'm thinking he's saying you can't serve God or anything else. You can't serve both. You can't serve God and your doctor. You can't serve God and a television show. You can't serve God and anything else. That's what I see when I see the scripture, not just God and mammon. So that means the rest of this chapter is talking about everything else as well. That was for the Bible theologians that was trying to tell me to correct me in a little bit. So I just want to make that plain and clear. All right. Now let's go to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when I got to this scripture, I realized and I understood. He said, problems are just worries. Problems are just worries that we have. And he's telling me, he says in the scripture, therefore, take no thought of saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? Because he's saying that you don't have to worry about that. I got you covered. I got you covered. Huh, then this is the best part. I just saw this just now. I'm seeing it now. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Problems are for us. Us Christians. That's what I'm talking about, us Christians. They're not for us. They're for the world. The world has all these problems. That's why you see on the news every single day that something's going on, something crazy didn't happen. Because that's problems for them, because they're not underneath the covering of the Holy Spirit. They're not underneath the covering of the Word of God. They're not underneath the covering of the blood of Jesus. So like I said, problems are not for us. I like to think of it this way. Just like, let me show you, I'm going to say it like this first. I'm going to tell you what the definition of a problem is. I looked this up in the dictionary just so I can. A problem is any question or matter involving doubt, uncertainty, or difficulty. What I saw right there was problem is just something without faith. And just like I always think about the definition of darkness. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. That means darkness ain't real. It's just the absence of light. So I'm seeing this for problems. Problems aren't real. Problems are just the absence of faith. Now, the real reason that problems are not in the Bible is because this book is not about a book of problems. This book is a book of possibilities. Yes. To solve all solutions, to all situations. So, my title of this message is, what problems? With the question mark. What problems? Amen. Amen. See, the Bible, like I said, it doesn't have any problems in it. It's a book of possibilities. The Bible's there to show you these three things: the power of God, the person you are supposed to be in Christ, and the privileges of your sonship. Proof of that is in, I'm not going to go to the chapter, but Luke 8, where the parable of the seeds, where he said that a man was walking on the wayside and the seeds came out, and some of them went to the good land, some of them went to the dry land, and some went to the land with thorns. And I noticed that he said, after the whole thing, when the whole seeds grew and they went through the whole situation, I realized he said that the seeds were the word of God. Yes. Seeds only grow. They only grow. Do not destroy. They do anything. So they only grow. So that means the word of God is only meant to grow. That means the word of God is only meant to grow you. Yes. So I'm going to break it down. Since we know what problems are, and we know we are not supposed to have problems, so why do we have these so-called problems? Why do we have them? Well, let me break down a problem and how it messes with your life. First, there are two ways a problem messes with your life. I'm going to say both of them, then we're going to break it down, all right? The first, it makes you not aware. And the second, now bear with me with this one, it makes you take action. Just, I'm going to get to it. You understand when I get to it. I just want you to write those down so you can have them. Let's go ahead and, okay. So the first one. Problems make you not aware. Problem means that you are dwelling on a situation mentally without there being a true intention or possibility of taking action now. I will say that again because I know that was a lot. Problem means that you are dwelling on a situation mentally without there being a true intention or possibility of taking action now. Y'all are still in Matthew 6, right? Okay, good. I want to ask you a question. What problem do you have? I want you to think about it. What problem do you have at this exact moment? Some of y'all trying to figure it out right now. Not coming up with anything, right? At this very exact moment, you have no problems. I see it on their face. They're like, oh, I don't have no problems. Problems make you constantly worry about the results of what's happening rather than dealing with it. Instead of you staying right here, right now, it makes you go to the future. Right. Makes you worry about what's going to happen instead of dealing with what's going to happen right then and there. Right. The reason that it does that is because right here, right now, at this moment, I'm a child of God. Amen. I know who I am at this moment, right here. Yes. Yeah. But once I worry, Once I get scared and start thinking about, oh no, I'ma mess that up. Or I'ma mess up. Or that's gonna mess me up. We forget who we are. We forget of the awareness of who we are. If you look at Matthew 6, verse 34, it says, take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That means you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Worry about right now. If you focus on right now and how you are in his kingdomship, if you are in God's will and you're in God's way, you don't have to worry about a single thing that's going to happen to you right then, because God will bring you into the future and you will not have to worry about the future at all. Problems are the result of thinking about what's ahead. Like I said. Now go to Hebrews 11, just to solidify. Now, the three words at the beginning of this scripture in verse 1. That is your answer to all problems. That is your answer right there. Now, faith is. Now, I might not have done good in English in high school, but I do know what present tense is. Now, faith is. It's sandwiched between two present tense. So now, faith is. So we have to have the now kind of faith. Because faith works, Apostle always says this, faith works at the end. Faith works at the end. So if you have faith now, and you're in faith right now, you don't have to worry about the end. The results are already written out for you. In Jesus' blood. Come on now. Let's go to Hebrews 12. We must take our faith in what Christ did at the cross and stay in the present. Because we know that it is finished. If you look at chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When Jesus died on that cross, he said these three words, it is finished. So that means everything that we have is finished. That means every situation that comes up at us is finished. So that we don't have to worry about what's going on. Because if we stay right there in the presence of the living God, if we stay in the presence of in our faith, what more do I have to say? Okay. Woo, glory to God. Say, what problems? Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, what problems? Shoot. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Problems can never exist in the present when you are aware of who you are. When you're aware of who you are in Christ, and that everything is finished, yeah. Problems don't exist. That's why our problems don't exist for us.
Yes.
Amen? Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Now we'll go to number two of how problems mess with you. It's by you taking action. Now, I know that sounds out there, but where do you think problems originate from? It's not from Satan. Ooh. It's not from the world system. Nah. Might be a little slap to the face, but problems come from you. You create your own problems. Problems originate from your doubt, disbelief, and uncertainty of what Christ did on the cross. And when we have this doubt, disbelief, and uncertainty in what happens on the cross, that's when we take matters into our own hands. We tend to think and know what's best. It's funny. We tend to think and know what's best for our lives, which is hilarious now that I think about it. I know my bank account. I know I gotta save. So I'm gonna make them do the right thing and save. Cause I know. I know my child, so I can deal with him this way. I know this man ain't right for me. But I can fix him. Come on now. We try to take matters in our own hands and become problem solvers. That's when we start to react to the situation happening. A reaction is a little different than responding. A reaction is kind of like an aftermath. It's kind of like someone hits you and you, right? That's a reaction. But if we were in the present moment, if we were in the will of God, in the will of God, we'll hit before they hit us. That's why I'm just showing an example of a reaction. But when we start to take matters in our own hands and become problem solvers, you are unconsciously making it a part of your sense of self. Problems try to steal your identity in Christ and make itself your identity. See it time and time again. My name is Paul and I'm an alcoholic. Child, this kid is so bad and he always gets on my nerves. We always tend to make the problems us. We emulate those problems and make them part of our lives. And that's because we believe we are problem solvers. Why are we trying to solve something that don't exist? Romans 12. Instead of reacting, we are supposed to be responding by already being in the will of God. Romans 12 and 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." Do not let that problem conform you into this world. But be transformed, be aware of who you are by the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Being in his will by renewing our minds in the faith of what was done at the cross. Because it is. So once we get our minds renewed, once we get ourselves aware of who we are, and we understand it is. That's when we become aware of when problems aren't real. That's when it becomes situations. Just situations that happen to us. Let me give you the definition of a situation. This is my report. Situation is a manner of being situated. Location or position with reference to the environment. So who's controlling your environment? See, if we get in a situation and try to become a problem solver, we create the problem. Do you see the redundancy of that? A situation comes along, right? We get scared about the results. Then we create the problem. Then we decide we want to solve the problem that we create. Do you want? It gets into a cycle. And doing things over and over and over again and expecting different results is the definition of what? Insanity. So we go crazy. We go crazy and we get lost. And it's funny because it's slick. It's very slick. It's very slick. Because, you know, present moment is now, right? Not 2 seconds, not 3 seconds, not 5 minutes, not an hour. But he will get you to go an hour. That problem will get you to go an hour and think about what's going to happen an hour from now. And you try to solve the problem, the small little problems too. We're talking about the small, big, medium, large problems. Yeah, all those problems are not real. We got to leave the problems to math because right now it's not supposed to be in our lives. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So I said if we get in a situation and try to become problem solvers, we create the problem and give it the control it needs for your life. But if we take a step back and let God take control of the environment, yes, then we become in control of the situation. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." when I crucified myself, when I realized that I cannot control my life, when I realized that I cannot be the problem solver, and I let God take control. I take the back seat while he drives. Once I do that, and I understand that, we understand that who has the control of the environment? God has the control of the environment, and that means we are in control of our lives. Now, once we got ourselves in this position to where we know who we are, we're now, God is in control. Our minds are not controlling us. When I worried, because we know that it is. Amen. When we get in that position, when a situation comes, it all of a sudden, a situation then becomes a stepping stone for God's glory to rise up in your life. That's how it was supposed to be from the beginning. These situations aren't coming to bring you down. I mean, Satan and the world probably think it's supposed to come and bring you down. Just like they thought that Jesus dying on the cross was supposed to be a win for them. He's thinking that these situations that he's trying to throw at you at every corner, every turn, is supposed to be a win for him. But really, the truth of the matter is, it's supposed to be a stepping stone for you. It's supposed to be a testimony for you to share, a testimony for yourself. For you to go higher and higher and higher and higher and up and up. And so that we can stay in those promises. And not have our ups and downs. So whenever we have problems, whenever we have situations, I'm still getting that together myself. Whenever we have situations that arise, and someone's like, oh, no, we have a problem. I want you to say what? What problem? What problem? Remember, there's no such thing as problems. I'm done. Amen, amen.